Welcome to Left Out with Adam Grimm and Logan Davis. A weekly show where we discuss all things sports, from the controversial to lighthearted topics around the country. Now let's go to the host. This is Left Out.
What's up, sports fans? It's Logan Davis.
Now I'm Adam Grimm, recording from Arrowhead Stadium.
It's January 29th, and welcome to Episode 8. Make sure to follow us or subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Anchor, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter as well, at LeftOutOfficial.
Today, we look back at the four best teams this year in the NFL and talk about the turmoil that is brewing in Houston and D.C. In addition, we will introduce our new favorite game and tell you if a certain NFL quarterback would be a Hall of Famer today. But first, it's time for us to pay homage to a legend.
Let the game begin.
It's time to get this week started with the tip-off.
Kobe Bryant was a legendary basketball player and an icon around the world. Following Michael Jordan, he may be one of the most significant faces in NBA history.
Last year, on January 26th, the world was shocked to hear of the tragic death of Kobe Bryant, as well as his daughter Gianna and the other seven people on board. This moment is one that all sports fans will be able to pinpoint where they were when they found out the tragic news.
On the week of the one-year anniversary of his passing, we wanted to share some of our favorite Kobe moments and the impact he has had on our lives.
So I'll start with my favorite Kobe moment. I have two. So the first one is obviously his 81-point game against Toronto. Just total dominance, obviously setting all-time scoring, only behind Wilt Chamberlain. And that really just made the whole world realize that obviously Kobe is a international superstar, but he is just built different. The Mamba mentality, as it's come to be coined as. And my second moment is January 27th, 2016. The Lakers are playing the Mavs and there's 5 seconds left. Kobe's not playing, he's injured, but Dirk gets the ball on the three-point line, drains it for the game winner. And as he's walking down the sideline, Kobe Bryant slaps him on the butt. It's kind of a funny, cute moment, I guess you could say. But Dirk and Kobe battled through the years of their respective careers and they're both legends. But Kobe just really, and me personally, just ignited the Mamba mentality just to attack everything and give it your all.
My favorite, I have a favorite on-court moment as well as an off-court moment. So my favorite on-court moment from him was obviously that last game, dropping 60. What a way to go out with a win. But then the sneaky part of that was his assist to end the game. And that was the last ever stat that he was able to record was an assist. Just as sort of a funny thing to the end of his career after always being the guy to take the shot and never pass the ball. He decided to pass it up to the end of his career. And my favorite off the court moment was in a Jimmy Kimmel interview one year. It showed the Lakers celebrating after winning, but they had lost a bunch of games before.
Yeah, I remember this.
And then it pans back to Kobe and he's just sitting there. You can just see the disgust on his face. You could just see like, if he was on that team, that would never be happening. Mm-mm. And I thought that just like really showed his mentality. And yeah, as far as his legacy that he left with me, it comes back to that Mamba mentality. He would give anything to win. He'd do whatever it takes. He'd give his all every time he goes out. And I think just carrying that with everything you do in life is a big thing for people to do. And it's a huge lesson that we can all learn from him.
Absolutely. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. And that wraps up the tip-off. Adam now with the news.
Big news, sports fans.
Let's talk about the sports news from around the country.
Yeah, I know I'm not exactly the jockey type, but I watched Hoosiers last night, and I like sports now.
Here are the biggest stories in sports.
Kicking off our sports news this week in the NFL, Deshaun Watson has formally requested a trade, but new head coach David Culley says he thinks that Deshaun Watson will be back, and that's how he's prepping.
Obviously, Houston, we have a problem, as you could say. Your franchise quarterback wants out.
I hate you.
I had to. But obviously, if this new coach assumes that Watson is going to stay, at the end of the day, Houston has to be the one to trade him. I mean, unless Watson sits, then they're going to have a problem. But I really think that Deshaun Watson will be traded. I appreciate the optimism of the new head coach, but I think Watson's going to be walking away from Houston.
This organization has done such a wrong to one of the top quarterback talents that we have in the NFL. And really, to this point, they've mostly wasted his career. He's never really had that top-level talent around him, it feels like, outside of a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, who they traded away and didn't even receive a first-round pick for. And you look back and you say, okay, Bill O'Brien's gone. Maybe this will help out the situation. But I just cannot stand to see another season of Deshaun Watson wasted like we have seen, especially this past year. you can't have Deshaun Watson as your quarterback and get, what, 4 wins that they had this year. That's just unacceptable to me. And I really hope that he gets out and can find somewhere where he can truly succeed as a quarterback. But moving on to baseball news, no players were elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame this week, and 14 of those Hall of Fame ballots were left blank. And in the aftermath of it, Curt Schilling has now been asked to be removed from the ballot entirely after receiving 71% of the votes.
This is just stupid. I just think it's just disrespectful to the people who left their ballots blank. And him being, I think it's 70, you told me it was 75% earlier this week for them to be inaugurated or into the Hall of Fame, correct?
Yeah, for those who don't know how Baseball Hall of Fame voting works, you get a list of players and you check off whoever you think should be in the Hall of Fame that year. You can pick as many as you want, as few as you want. There's no set requirement of players that need to go in. The players just need to get 75% of the vote to be allowed in. Those are the rules.
Right. Thank you, Adam. So yeah, 71%, Curt Schilling obviously is very close, but I totally support his decision. I mean, I think their system is flawed. And I think it's just disrespectful to the guys who have been waiting to be inducted to the Hall of Fame, who've had incredible careers. They're just not getting the recognition for it.
Yeah, you look at Curt Schilling, he's a guy with almost 350 wins in his career, which is really almost unheard of for somebody who is pitching into the 21st century. But I don't know, just this just shows another reason why baseball is a dying sport. They have their unwritten rules, they have a slow pace of play, and now stuff like this added on top of it, this just does not bode well for baseball. They don't make it a very fan-friendly game anymore. And I think that that's always what helped baseball in the past, was that they were so connected with their fans and everything. But now it feels like they're going further and further away from that by not changing with the times. And so I hope that baseball is able to return to its previous heights that it was at, but I just really don't know at this point. And in college sports, the ACC is going to return to its normal structure as before, and Notre Dame will go back to being an independent next season.
This is kind of good news and bad news, I guess. Notre Dame being independent again, picked their schedule, which is kind of frustrating, but if they're involved in the college football playoffs again, the committee hopefully will say no and allow them not to play in the college football playoffs. But however, this might be a biased Texas A&M Aggie view. So
I think that college football as a whole should look back at what the ACC did this season and use it as their new structure. I don't think that there should be divisions within a conference. I think that it's stupid. It makes schedules unbalanced. And with no divisions in a conference, you're going to get to play more new people each year. But as far as Notre Dame goes, I mean, good luck, I guess. I think that it's going to continue to be difficult for them to get in without being in a conference. And so we will see how that will go with them. But that's all for the sports news this week. Let's debate a Hall of Fame case.
It's showtime! And now, the main attraction.
This is what you've been waiting for. Our biggest discussion of the week.
Cool.
It's time for the main event.
As stated before, we will be introducing the case for and against a star NFL quarterback and whether or not he should be considered a Hall of Famer today. Is Patrick Mahomes, in this moment, a Hall of Famer? Logan, I will let you start.
Patrick Mahomes, right now, is a Hall of Famer. If for the rest of his career, he doesn't do anything excellent or brilliant or doesn't win any more Super Bowls, I think he's a Hall of Famer. Let me just read you his resume with only being 3 years in the league, okay? Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP, NFL Most Valuable Player, NFL Offensive Player of the Year, First Team All-Pro, Second Team All-Pro, 3 times Pro Bowler. He was the NFL passing touchdowns leader when he won the MVP with 50. That enough, I believe, is worth it for the Hall of Fame. There are a lot of guys who have made the Hall of Fame who've never won a Super Bowl, nor won a Super Bowl MVP, or have been an MVP. So I think those 3 accolades are what sends him into the Hall of Fame regardless. And if he has a mediocre career after this Super Bowl, I think he's still first-time Hall of Famer.
Let me give you 2 guys who I think at this point in their career have very close, at this point in Patrick's career, I'm sorry, have very close resumes to what Patrick Mahomes would have so far. Those guys are Rich Gannon and Joe Theismann. We look back at Rich Gannon. He was the NFL MVP in 2002. He had a great regular season, but But you look back to the Super Bowl. He does not have the Super Bowl MVP that Patrick Mahomes does. But if you go back and look at the story of the 2002 Super Bowl, there's some really weird stuff that happened in that game. The Oakland Raiders switched their game plan like on the Tuesday the week before the Super Bowl completely, and they essentially took the ball out of his hands after he had won the MVP that season. There's a lot of stuff with John Gruden. Really weird situation, but I think had they had a better game plan, he would have been a Super Bowl MVP. But I would not consider Rich Gannon a Hall of Famer. I don't know about you, but that's just my personal opinion. And back to Joe Theismann. Had he played just a little bit better in Super Bowl 18 and his running back not gotten a few touchdowns late in the fourth quarter, he would also have these accolades as well, but he once again is not a Hall of Famer. Those two were unable to make it with those accolades. And without the volume stats that those two had, I do not believe that Patrick Mahomes would be a Hall of Famer in this moment right now, not looking at any part of the rest of his career based off of those two. What's the word I'm looking for?
Seasons?
Anecdotes.
Okay. Nice. Good word. Okay, here's what troubles me about the Rich Gannon and Joe Theismann thing. Yes, Joe Theismann, for example, won a Super Bowl. He was named the MVP. But I believe that the game has changed so significantly since Joe Theismann and Rich Gannon have played. Okay. Patrick Mahomes threw 50 touchdowns, okay, one season. In Rich Gannon's MVP season, he threw 26 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, okay? Just looking at those numbers alone, there's obviously a huge difference of talent between Rich Gannon and Patrick Mahomes. I think the new criteria for the Hall of Fame is different than for him, for Rich Gannon.
But you say that there's a different game, but part of that different game is that quarterbacks have the ball in their hands more, especially now down at the goal lines with all of these different formations we have, all of the motion that there is in an NFL offense, stuff like that. It makes it a lot more capable for a quarterback to produce touchdowns in the red zone, whereas the thinking back in the early 2000s time was, once you get down to the red zone, you give the ball to your running back because they're not as likely to turn the ball over. And so I think that that's part of where the disparity between the two stats may come from.
Absolutely. I definitely see that. The last thing I'll say about this is Patrick Mahomes is going to make the Hall of Fame.
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. And if
barring
he does.
The unbelievable.
Yeah, maybe the unbelievable is a career-ending injury. But the fact that Joe Theismann is not in the Hall of Fame surprises me. I did not know that.
Yeah. Those were the two that I could find that sort of fit my criteria of having an MVP and at least close to a Super Bowl MVP. But
absolutely.
Really interesting.
Make sure to comment who won this week's debate on our Instagram at LeftOutOfficial. Now let's talk about what's happening on the gridiron and the hardwood.
Hello, you play to win the game.
These are the headlines from around the league and association.
It's a make or miss league, baby.
With the conference championship games in the rearview mirror and Super Bowl 55 up ahead, we take a look back at what this season meant for each of the four teams going forward. The first team that we want to talk about this week is the Green Bay Packers. What do you think about this season for them?
I think it's a total failure. In the past two seasons, they have been 26-6 in the past regular seasons, and they've lost consecutive NFC championships, which they're the first team to do it since the Eagles did it in 2002 into 2003. So I just think the Packers need to figure something out of why they collapse in the championship game. Obviously, you have should be the MVP at least this year, Aaron Rodgers, who says that his future is uncertain, but obviously wants to be retained. But if you're Matt LaFleur, I think you really need to focus more on the defensive side. And in the Buccaneers-Packers game, it was just very poor play calling and defense just laxing and letting big plays happen. The one I'm referring to, if you didn't watch the game, is Tom Brady threw this super long pass to Scotty Miller with like 4 seconds left before halftime to get him up another touchdown. So I think Matt LaFleur just needs to get the defense and the whole entire team to buy in. And the championship window is closing for Aaron Rodgers. So if they're trying to win, they got to do better than 13-3 every season. They got to win the whole thing. So.
Yeah, I agree that this was as big of a failure as it gets. you look back and you see what Aaron Rodgers did this year, it's going to be hard for him to have another season as productive as he had this year once again, and to just waste one of the most talented quarterbacks of all time and to only get one Super Bowl with him, I think is a failure of the franchise. I think that a lot of people point to Aaron Rodgers as being sort of a choker, which I just don't buy at all. If you look back at some of the games that he's played in where he's lost in the playoffs, his defense has given up 30-plus points per game, and to expect a quarterback to win with that is really just a bit unrealistic. And I think that it also comes back to their first-round pick. They took Jordan Love with the 26th pick. There were plenty of good receivers, running backs, any sort of skill position that they could have picked up to give Aaron Rodgers some help. They could have picked up some pieces on the defensive side of the ball to give the defense some help that it clearly needed. But they just chose not to. They chose to go with this quarterback to try and push Aaron Rodgers. The guy's an MVP still, obviously. And so I don't know what the Packers were thinking there. And it just relates back to this entire season was a failure for them. You cannot look at this in a positive light at all, in my opinion.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Just the Green Bay organization has handled this absolutely poorly. The next team is the Buffalo Bills. So in my opinion, I think this is a great start for them and success for years to come. I think Coach McDermott has done an incredible job. Josh Allen has taken that next leap. And obviously the trade they made for Stephon Diggs obviously was an incredible trade as he led the league in yards. And played great in the playoffs. So I think they're a young team, and I think they're on the step to greatness and maybe a Super Bowl in years to come. So Bills Mafia should get excited. I think one thing that the Bills organization needs to decide is to extend Josh Allen right now or wait and see if he continues to improve. Because we're seeing quarterbacks like Jared Goff and Carson Wentz have a phenomenal season and then get an extension and then play horribly, and then everybody wants them off the team. So Buffalo has a huge decision to make.
Yeah, they really took that next step forward this year. And I think that with just a few more pieces on the defensive line and maybe in the secondary as well, they'll be ready to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs. You look at how far this team has come this year. They found their quarterback and wide receiver tandem. They have a solid offensive line. They have solid guys around those, both Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. You look at that, and everything is there offensively. And defense, it's close. They have a great defensive head coach in Sean McDermott. They have a lot of the pieces in place, but they just need a few more. And I really think that they will be able to push the Chiefs in the AFC for years to come. And as far as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go, I think that this shows that Tom Brady chose the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a reason. He knew that they could give him a chance to compete for a Super Bowl. He looked at the roster that they have, and I think that it really just makes it clear that he knows what he's doing, but it also shows around the entire NFL that you need a mature quarterback to be running your offense. They have mostly the same roster with Jameis Winston, and I don't think that there's a huge talent gap necessarily between Jameis Winston and Tom Brady, but Tom Brady's understanding of the game, his ability to control the offense, his ability to lead the team as an overall, I think is what made the difference for the Bucs this year, really.
Absolutely. My number one point is they got to win the GOAT. The GOAT is seventh ring is what I'm thinking. But yeah, I think Tom Brady obviously chose the right team to give him the best chance. And I think just the big thing for Tampa Bay is last season they had 41 turnovers. This season they had 17. So just Tom Brady's ability to not turn over the ball allowed the whole Bucs offense and defense to just operate on a whole nother level and obviously get to the Super Bowl. So they're a loaded team, and they're going to be good for maybe the next 2 to 3 years. And if Tom Brady wins, if they win, I don't know what's going to happen. So we'll see.
And as far as the Kansas City Chiefs go, our fourth and final team we will be discussing, they have the potential to be that next dynasty in the NFL. Their entire team has been clicking throughout the playoffs, and I think it just shows how much better that they've been than the rest of the AFC this year, and there's really no reason to believe why that couldn't continue. They have their guy Patrick Mahomes locked up. They have Chris Jones, the leader of their defense, locked up, as well as Tyrann Mathieu. They have all the right ingredients. They just need to keep it together. And I think that that's going to be the biggest thing for them going forward to try and create this potential dynasty that they have built in Kansas City.
Yeah, I 100% agree. They have the pieces. They're obviously operating at a whole nother level, and they're trying to be back-to-back Super Bowl champs since the Patriots did it in, I believe, 2003, 2004, if I remember correctly. But for them, I think it's they got to beat Tom Brady, got to beat the GOAT for them for this season. And just as you said, just continue to gather pieces to continue this long-lasting dynasty, maybe. It's time to head to the association and talk about the struggles of the Washington Wizards and their superstar, Bradley Beal.
Yeah, you say the struggles of their superstar, Bradley Beal, but it's really just the struggles of the organization. And really, what should his next move be? And I think he has to request a trade. What they're doing in Washington right now is just ridiculous for him and his career, I think.
Absolutely. And I think a big thing for Washington is obviously they've had some COVID issues. They didn't play a game for 13 days. Thomas Bryant, their starting center, tore his ACL. And Russell Westbrook has been in and out with a quad injury and COVID as well. So obviously they're not at their full strength, but Scott Brooks has done a horrendous job on the defensive side, especially. They let out the most points every single game, and it just falls on the coach. Players obviously are going to give their top effort, but if there's no good defensive schemes that Coach Brooks can come up with, then it's on him. And for Bradley Beal, I mean, he's leading the league in scoring, but I saw this interesting stat. Out of the last 13 games where Bradley Beal has dropped 40 points or more, he's only won one of them and lost all 12. So obviously Beal is just having clear frustration, and there's just videos of him where he's on the bench, just holding his head, just really frustrated with the game. And I think he needs to be traded to at least the Nuggets, the 76ers, or the Warriors, in my opinion.
Yeah, you look back on Thursday night against the Pelicans, back to the image of him sitting on the bench, just clearly in a world of frustration with where this franchise was at. If you look at that team on Thursday night, that was basically a G League roster. That's embarrassing for an NBA team to put forward the starters that they had out there outside of Bradley Beal. And I get that you had guys resting, you have guys out with COVID, but it's just, you can't have that as your NBA team. And I think it also comes back to Scott Brooks. He's talking about how he needs to get the team to buy in defensively. Well, yeah, he needs to do it. The blame falls on him. And so, I mean, it's just a really tough situation for Bradley Beal. I hope he gets out. Obviously, always rooting for the St. Louis guys, but just a nightmare of a situation in DC is brewing, and you hope that they can figure something out going forward, but I hope it ends with Bradley Beal on a championship contending team.
Yeah, last thing I'll say is Bradley Beal has been handling it very well. He hasn't been complaining or sitting out games. He's obviously going to continue to work hard and try to get some wins for the Wizards, but yeah, at the end of the day, he's just got to get a trade and get out of there.
Yeah, what he's done as far as keeping his head down and just continuing to work, I think while you see a lot of these players who will come out like James Harden did and voice his frustrations very clearly, I think that his ability to handle everything maturely, how he has done, has been really cool, especially for a fan of his, and it just makes you respect him even more as a person, I think. So hopefully that pays off and he's able to get somewhere where he can hopefully play meaningful games again. But now it's time to play everyone's new favorite game, Legit or Not Legit, starting off with the Utah Jazz, who have won 10 in a row and now possess the NBA's best record. Are the Utah Jazz legit or not legit?
I'm going to say legit. They've won the past 10. They're playing the Mavs right now. See if they're hopefully win 11, but obviously, I hope they don't, so the Mavs can get a win. But yeah, I think Utah's legit. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and that whole roster have just been clicking. Steve Kerr played the Jazz a couple weeks ago, and he said that the Jazz are in the same roster capabilities and time zone as the Warriors were 3 to 4 years ago. To get that compliment that this Jazz roster is comparable to KD, Klay, and Steph, then Steve Kerr must see something that this Jazz team is a championship contender. So I absolutely 100% say this is legit.
Let me just say that that's not accurate at all. The Warriors were the greatest team of all time during that run. There will never be a team anywhere close to what they were. But as far as I go with legit or not legit, I think they're legit as a playoff team, but not as a contender. I really just don't think that they have that second star without Donovan Mitchell. And in the current NBA, it's going to be impossible to win without that second star. We see what that can do to a team like Miami. They were able to get to the finals, but once it came down to it and they needed two guys to really step up, The only guy who really could step up in that superstar way was Jimmy Butler. Obviously, you had other guys around him playing well, but you didn't have that second superstar in that series, which really just hurt them, I think. And I think that's going to be a similar issue that the Jazz will run into as well whenever they're trying to compete for a championship.
We will see. The Houston Rockets have also won their last four games with the new trio of John Wall, Victor Oladipo, and Christian Wood. So, Adam, are the Houston Rockets a potential playoff team? Legit or not legit?
They're not legit as a solid playoff team. They might make it into the play-in tournament, I think. But Victor Oladipo still hasn't been super efficient. Wall still can't shoot. Their two of their wins were against teams that were at the bottom of the East in both the Wizards and the Pistons. So I think that, yeah, they're headed in a better direction, but I still don't think it's the right direction. I still think that they're a fringe playoff team at best.
Yeah, absolutely. I also said not legit. I think even though they have Oladipo, Wall, and Christian Wood has been a rising star this season, I think the Rockets' direction and Stephen Silas should not be to push for a playoff contention. But Houston has always been kind of shoot first and regret later. So I also vote not legit.
Quick bonus round one. Christian Wood is an all-star, legit or not legit?
Legit. The man is averaging like 23 points a game and like double-digit rebounds. He should be an all-star. At least, I mean, not a starter, reserve. He should be a reserve.
I'm with you. But our next one, another all-star question. Jaylen Brown, should he be an all-star starter, legit or not legit?
I think it's legit. He's put up incredible numbers. Last time I looked, he was averaging 27, 26 a game. And he's really been dominant on both sides, offensive and defensively, for the Celtics. However, realistically, I don't think he will be voted as a starter. I think the fans will have a large vote for like a James Harden or Kyrie Irving sort of type. But I think it's legit. I think he deserves it.
I also think it's legit. He's been great defensively and offensively. As you said, with some of his stats, they've just been great for him. But he's really kept the Celtics alive whenever they have been struggling with injury, struggling with COVID. He's been that rock that has allowed them to play winning basketball still and keep them in contention for one of the top spots in the East. So I think it's legit. And I think that the fans in Boston will get him there as well. They have a very passionate fan base there. So I think that it's legit. Colin Sexton as an all-star, legit or not legit?
Not legit. I'm not buying it. Hey, yes, he's having a career year. He's averaging 25. He's shooting 51% from the field, 47% from three, and averaging four assists. But I'm not going to buy it. There's been a lot of guys in the past who have put up numbers equal to this and not been selected. For example, Bradley Beal was not an all-star last year, even though he was averaging at least five more points than Colin Sexton. But he's on a losing team, and Cleveland is kind of mid-tier on the Eastern standing, so I don't think he'll be an all-star. Not legit.
You say losing team, but they're 9-10 after tonight, and so they do have a losing record, but it is close. He's doing something that nobody since LeBron James has been able to do since the 90s, and that's lead the Cleveland Cavaliers to win. I think it's legit. I think that those efficiency numbers are incredible, and I think that he will be an all-star this year. Miami Heat do not make the playoffs, legit or not legit?
Legit, absolutely. Which is sad to say because their finals run was incredible, and Jimmy Butler and that whole roster played at an elite level, but injuries and COVID have not been kind to Miami, and it's really up to the players to step up when they all do get healthy, especially Jimmy Butler if they want to try to make a push. But they're 6-11 right now, and they got some room to improve. But yeah, not legit. I don't think they're making it.
You said legit. But also,
Legit.
I think that short offseason turnaround is really hurting them. A lot of their second-year guys aren't really taking that next step that they may have thought that they would. And I think that they've dealt with a lot of injuries, and it's really, in a shortened season, going to come back to bite them. And unfortunately, they just will not be able to overcome the early season slump that they have dug themselves into. Matthew Stafford trade rumors to the Rams, legit or not legit?
Legit. Sources can confirm that that is a destination that Matt Stafford would be interested in being traded for. And since Jared Goff is not in favor of the LA Rams organization right now, I bet they would be willing to trade for him. However, I don't know how they're going to balance the money that Matt Stafford has, but considering they've signed like four players to max extensions practically, the Rams would probably figure out a way.
Yeah, you're going to have to trade him one for one, Jared Goff for Matthew Stafford. But I think it's legit. You said that Jared Goff doesn't like the Rams, but the Rams don't like Jared Goff as it would appear right now. There's major concerns with him. But at the same time, I have concerns with Matthew Stafford as well. He's never really won big games ever in his career, and I think that's something that's concerning, but I do buy the rumors that he could be there. Deshaun Watson on his way to New York, legit or not legit?
I think it's legit. I think the new coaching staff, Robert Saleh, is the head coach. I think New York is going to pull the trigger and just throw everything at Houston to get Deshaun Watson. Sam Darnold has kind of been in a rough situation, so him getting a new start maybe in Houston would be good for him. But yeah, I think New York needs Deshaun Watson to kind of bring back a fan base to the Jets organization after these lackluster years.
I don't think it's legit. I think after hearing the Texans organization talk about Deshaun Watson, they're going to at least hold out on a trade to him until training camp, whenever he really commits to not playing for them. And I think that by that time, the Jets and the Giants with young quarterbacks, they will have wanted to really set their standard and decide who our quarterback is going to be going forward, rather than waiting on a potential Deshaun Watson trade.
And our last legit or not legit, I think this is going to be a tough one. Tom Brady will win his 7th Super Bowl and retire. Adam, is this legit or not legit?
It's not legit. He's playing too well, and if he's able to win a Super Bowl, he's going to come back knowing the competitive guy that he is. I think that even looking back now to Michael Jordan's documentary where he talks about how he wishes he could have given it one last run with the Bulls, I think that that's really opened the eyes to a lot of athletes to say, maybe I'll just go one more year if I'm still playing well and at a high level, and our team is as well. So I think that he's going to come back next year, regardless of if he wins or not.
Yeah, I also said not legit. I think if he wins, he's going to come back because he's just going to cement himself as the GOAT and no one can touch me. So yeah, I 100% agree. And I don't think another quarterback will ever reach 7 Super Bowls if Tom Brady wins.
Now it's time to get this week wrapped up talking about our NBA All-Star starters.
It's been a blast, but it's almost time to go. We wrap up this week with the home stretch.
We have finally reached the time to start voting for the NBA All-Star team. Voting ends February 14th. So now Adam and I will discuss who we think should be the clear starters for both the East and the West. So Adam, take it away.
All right, starting off in the Eastern Conference, going with the two guards that I will select for my backcourt. I'm going to go with James Harden leading the league in assists. Also starting to find his role with the Brooklyn Nets, it would seem. And as I mentioned before, Jaylen Brown being that guy who has kept the Celtics afloat while they have been struggling with injuries and COVID, playing very well on both sides of the ball. I think that those two are the most deserving right now in the Eastern Conference.
For the Eastern Conference as well, for my two guards, I chose Harden and Beal. I completely agree with Harden leading the lead in assists, but I just think Bradley Beal needs some respect. He's leading the league in scoring. And I just think he got snubbed from last year. So I hope the fan and the coaches acknowledge that this man deserves to be a starter.
Yeah, I can get behind that. As far as my front court goes, Kevin Durant, second in the league in scoring, playing super well in the Brooklyn Nets, recovered well from his Achilles injury, so glad to see that. I also have Giannis, maybe not putting up quite the numbers that he has the past couple years, but still been a very dominant player. And then also Joel Embiid, a guy in the MVP conversation who's been a bright spot for Philadelphia this year. Hopefully he can continue his high level of play like he has early on in the season.
I have the exact same front court. I put Durant, Antetokounmpo, and Embiid. Just a touch on some things you didn't add. Durant, obviously, literally, I think he's been the best player to recover from injury so far this season. So obviously having a great season. Giannis, still leading the Bucks to some quality wins, but I think defense is a figured amount. But yeah, he totally deserves to be an all-star starter. And Joel Embiid, I feel like, is taking a huge leap this season under Doc Rivers. And Philadelphia is just rolling right now. So I completely agree with your selections.
And now over to the Western Conference. For my backcourt, Damian Lillard, obviously averaging close to 30 points per game. Luka averaging close to a triple-double. Those would be my two all-star starters.
I chose Luka and Steph Curry. The reason why I didn't choose Dame is because I think the league missed Steph Curry last season, and him being back and dropping 62 like we saw a couple weeks ago, and just the Warrior mania is back. So I know he'll get a lot of votes for sure. So
now onto the front court. I have the Los Angeles Clippers teammates and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. I think that he gets in as a forward. And I think Nikola Jokic is the other guy in the front court.
Oh, you're delusional. Are you serious? You're not going
to. Paul George is shooting almost 50% from three.
Okay, may I remind you who is the defending champion and defending finals MVP? LeBron James? You're just going to leave the GOAT out of the all-star starters? What's wrong?
I mean, I'm going based off of how they've played up to this point. I mean, if LeBron continues like he has over this past week, then he'll absolutely be in it. But right now, if I had to pick one, I would pick Paul George so far this season.
No way. I'm choosing Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, and Nikola Jokic. All three have been balling. And dude, you cannot put LeBron James as reserve. Disrespectful.
I just don't think he cares that much about the regular season right now. He doesn't need to, so I don't think that he goes as hard as he can. And I think that ultimately you have to reward how they have played so far. And I think Paul George has played better than LeBron James so far this year.
I'm not trusting playoff P, or known as Brick City.
It's not the playoffs.
Doesn't matter. I don't trust him.
It's the regular season. That's where he shines.
Okay.
All right. Well, now it's time for us to tell you what probably won't happen this week.
General Kenobi, you are a bold one.
Let's hear the blasphemy that you came up with.
I think Matt Stafford gets traded to the 49ers. I think they do a Garoppolo GOAT and Matt Stafford switch. So Jimmy Garoppolo to Detroit, Matt Stafford will come over to the 49ers, and next year the 49ers will be a Super Bowl team.
Mine is headed back to the diamond, headed back to the baseball fields. St. Louis Cardinals on January 29th have finally made a big splash move for the first time in years. They've traded for Nolan Arenado, one of the best third basemen in baseball, both defensively and offensively. My bold prediction is that either Nolan Arenado or Paul Goldschmidt will win their first MVP with the St. Louis Cardinals this year. They will have each other so that pitchers can't get around one of them. And I think that that really plays to benefit for both of them. They're both great defensively, both perennial gold glove contenders. And I think that their hitting will begin to take care of itself this year.
Well, we will see. I don't know. That might be some blasphemy, but yeah.
Hey, I don't care. I'm picking with my
heart. Hey, we appreciate that.
That's how you know it's real.
Absolutely.
What are you thinking about this week?
Yeah, my final thoughts for this week is just kind of more of on a personal level. Just the importance of calling your friends and family. Just this past week, I've gotten to, you know, call my mom, my dad, and my sisters and really just catch up being away from home. And I just think sometimes we just forget like what it means to people to get calls from the ones you love. So I challenge everyone to call their friends, their family, and just tell them that you appreciate them and that you miss them, because at the end of the day, I mean, they'll pass away someday. Sorry to be morbid, but.
Wow, that took a turn.
Sorry, but yeah, just call your family. They'll appreciate it. I'm sorry. Oh,
man. This
might be my worst final thought of the podcast.
It was great. Yeah. And then, wow, yes. that took a turn.
Maybe people will remember it. I'm sorry. All right, go ahead.
Man, oh man. Mine, Saturday, January 30th, is my 5-year anniversary with my girlfriend, Lauren.
Aww.
So I just wanted to reach out and say happy anniversary.
Oh my God.
Thank you for putting up with everything that I give you in life. Thank you for always supporting me through all of my adventures. But yeah, had to give the shout out to
Absolutely.
Her.
Absolutely. Congratulations, Adam and Lauren, on 5 years tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's all we have for this week. As always, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at LeftOutOfficial, and leave any feedback you have for us. Comment in there in our Instagram post if you liked our new segment. For Adam Grimm, I'm Logan Davis.
And for Logan Davis, I'm Adam Grimm. We'll see you next week.
We out, baby!